Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
844 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Whenever we have a question about law or legal proceedings, Dane Cialino is our go-to guy, professor of law at Loyola. How you doing, Dane?
Just fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Take me back, if you will, for people that remember a little bit about it, because the latest thing is we're besieged by 7,200 messages a day or something like that. People that remember something about the Ten Commandments and the legislature and schools and so forth, and tell me how we got to where we are now, and then we'll talk about where we are now.
Yeah, during the 2024 session last year, the legislature passed a bill that the governor signed into law, requiring public schools to post the Ten Commandments in classrooms. And then that was challenged by some plaintiffs supported by the ACLU and other organizations. The district court, federal district court in Baton Rouge, found that the law was unconstitutional because it violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, because there is a U.S. Supreme Court case right on point from 1980 that says you can't do that. The plaintiffs, winning, were pleased, of course, but the state appealed to the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit last week on Friday ruled that the district court got it right, that the First Amendment's Establishment Clause prohibits the public display in public schools of the Ten Commandments, and that's where we are today. We're told that the state is going to seek en banc review from the entire Fifth Circuit, and then ultimately they're going to go to the Supreme Court, who will may or may not decide the issue.
You said a lot of stuff there as a professor of law. Let me go back and rewind a little bit. You talked about Establishment Clause, and for people that are thinking, I'm just going to try to channel the audience in, or saying, you know what, we're a Christian nation. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying what people are thinking and what they text in. We're a Christian nation. Why not have the Ten Commandments? And Ten Commandments, I don't think, has anything to do with being a Christian nation. But either way, thoughts on that, Dane, and the Constitution.
Yeah, well, the First Amendment says what it says, and there's longstanding case law that says that we cannot have entanglements between government and religion. And even though historically we are a Christian nation, the founders adopted the First Amendment and its establishment and free exercise clause to have some separation between church and state. And it's been debated for 250 years how much separation is appropriate. The debate still goes on today, but the Establishment Clause says what it says, and the state cannot adopt a religion or endorse religion in a way that essentially forces it on people in public schools.
So let me ask you this, not to be an arguer or anything, but when you say history shows we were founded as a Christian nation, I don't know what that means. That means that most of the people in the country at the time were Christians, or?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly weren't. We didn't bake Christianity into the United States Constitution. In fact, quite the opposite. But
and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here. We certainly weren't a Muslim nation. We certainly weren't a Jewish nation. We certainly weren't a pick-your-own-religion here, a Buddhist nation, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, historically, and religion back then played a much bigger role in the day-to-day lives of citizens than it does today. But again, those are all the historical, that's the historical context. But in that context, the founders did just the opposite of what maybe some would think, which is to try to put up a wall of debatable thickness and height, a wall between church and state.
So when it comes to the different courts, Take me through that slowly here, and because people try to understand the hierarchy of courts, be it state courts, district courts, federal courts, et cetera. Where was this action brought?
Yeah, this was brought in federal district court in Baton Rouge, the lowest tier of federal courts. And it was really quite an easy decision, really, for the United States district judge in that case, because this is one of these perhaps rare occasions where there is absolutely on point Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court precedent on the exact issue presented. And that was the 1980 case out of Kentucky that ruled squarely that you cannot order public schools to post the Ten Commandments. That's what that 1980 decision says. So the district court in Baton Rouge just applied the law as announced by the United States Supreme Court in 1980. Now, the reason that it was something of a horse race and perhaps remains that today is that the U.S. Supreme Court about 3 or 4 years ago in a case called Bremerton, Kennedy or Bremerton, whatever you'd like to call it, said that the test for a violation of the Establishment Clause is different than what it's been since the early 70s. The new test of whether a statute violates the Establishment Clause is whether or not there is a history and tradition of the practice that, even though it might have some religious nature, if there's a history and tradition that supports it, then it might pass constitutional muster. And that's the toehold that the Attorney General is trying to use to get this 1980 opinion overruled by the Supreme Court. But that can't happen until it gets to the Supreme Court, and that's where she's hoping to bring this.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Dane Cialino. The Attorney General Liz Merrill is requesting an en banc review. What does that mean? We'll find out when Dane Cialino rejoins us after this break. Right now, 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic, WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
8:55, 5 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Dane Cialino about a professor of law at Loyola about Louisiana's Ten Commandment law that was passed in 2024 that a district, help me out, Dane, I don't want to hurt myself here, a district court struck down?
A district court struck down, and the United States Fifth Circuit last week affirmed.
So the Fifth Circuit is on Camp Street, and right?
Correct.
And we all pass it, but I don't think we quite realize what it consists of. How many judges are there? Who is it that heard this Ten Commandments case? And who is it that Liz Merrill would like to hear this Ten Commandments case?
Yeah, it was heard by a three-judge panel, which is typical on a federal appeal. And now she's asked for the entire court to review it. It's called en banc or in bank, which is every judge in active service of the court. To hear it as a panel of the whole, essentially. I believe there are somewhere between 12 and 14 judges that are active now. I'm not sure of the exact number, but something along those lines. I was a little surprised, actually, that she asked for en banc review because she surely understands that the only court that can give her relief, the relief that she wants, which is a decision that the statute doesn't violate the First Amendment, the only court that could give her that relief is the United States Supreme Court. And the only way the United States Supreme Court can do it is by overruling its own precedent from 1980, which is something that doesn't happen terribly often. But this court has not been shy. This Roberts Court has not been shy about overruling precedent. Like, for example, we saw the overruling of Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs case. So that's why I'm surprised. I would think she would want to get this case as quickly as possible to the United States Supreme Court. She doesn't have to seek en banc review from the Fifth Circuit to do that. But nonetheless, that's what she's done.
If she does seek that and has the en banc review, that delays it getting the Supreme Court? Because surely if the en banc review is in her, favor of her, the other side is going to appeal, or then the Supreme Court could choose not to hear it, and then it becomes law, Dane?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would be surprised if number one, she seeks en banc review, although she said that she plans to do that. And I would even be more surprised if the Fifth Circuit en banc overruled the panel decision or reversed the panel decision. I just don't think that's going to happen. Ultimately, this is going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which doesn't even have to take up the case. It's not an appeal to the United States Supreme Court. It's she would file a petition for certiorari, which is essentially asking the court to, in its discretion, decide to take up the case and review it, which is certainly not a foregone conclusion. There's a good chance the court would just leave this issue alone and let the Fifth Circuit panel opinion stand, which, of course, struck down the law as unconstitutional.
So when it comes to the historical argument there, if they say it is allowable under the historical context, does that open a door for other things to be included or posted in classrooms because they were intrinsic to the history of the country?
Yeah, possibly. And remember, that's the way that this law was drafted. It ostensibly, the law is trying to be make itself look consistent with the history and tradition, and having the Ten Commandments posted in the context of history was kind of an all too obvious attempt to shoehorn this law into this developing Establishment Clause jurisprudence.
I don't know if you're in the prediction business or not, but if the Roberts Court were to take this up, do you have any idea how they'd rule?
Yeah, I think it'd be a close call. I think it's more likely they're just not going to take it up and leave it alone. But I think it would be a close call. They probably would not overrule the 1980 existing case law. But again, who knows? You could guess as well as me, Tommy.
Thank you, Dane. That's right. I appreciate it. Well, two brilliant legal minds. Sure, why not? Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. We'll come back, talk to an advocate recruiter for Casa Jefferson about how much good you can do as a CASA volunteer. And we'll talk with Judy Ho. We talk about mental health all the time, about relationships between grown children, grown parents, and more.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.